week, I gave you a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to talk about over the next maybe 2 or 3 months. And I'm calling it, like, how important is Sunday, or how important is church attendance? And how important is it that you be involved in a church if you are a Christian? Now, I realize you're here. So I realize that most of you are very, very faithful people to our church. Unless you're on vacation or sick or working or something, you're here. So I could be talking to the choir, as the old saying goes, but we got a camera here that's filming me. You've got family members that need to hear this. Point them to the website and let them hear. How important is Sunday? Now, I said last week that some churches have church on Saturday night. And I've got no real problem with that because we do that once a month now. So when I say how important is Sunday, I mean how important is it to attend church, whether it's Saturday night, Sunday, or whenever it is. If you're a member of a church, when they open their doors, how important is it for you to be there? Okay, everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Larry, here we go. Now, I'm going to use the same scripture over and over a lot, because it is truly expresses what God is all about and what God expects out of His people. Alright? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, I said last week, provoke is a strong word. Because I can provoke you to do good things, or I can provoke you to do bad things. If I just come up to Chris and just hit him as hard as I want to in this arm, I'm going to provoke something out of him. Aren't I? And isn't that going to be pretty? But now, if I come up and hug him, kiss him on his hand like I've done before, then I'm provoking another response. I'm telling him I care about him. So I can either put him in misery and hurt him, or I can care about him. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're to do. When we come to church with each other, we are to provoke love toward each other. As a matter of fact, this church is a pretty loving church. We can't start on time because y'all are provoking each other all through about 10 or 15 minutes. How you doing? What are you doing? Everything all right? How means your husband? How means your wife? And you know all the conversations that we have. Because we don't see each other most time, but maybe once a week. Even if it's family. So this is a time of fellowship to provoke. When the writer here says, let us consider one another, church is about me. It's about you. We come here for a reason. And if you are a child of God, you need to understand what some of these reasons are. We want you to come because we want you to understand, we want you to be loved, and we want to encourage you to do good works. We're all here together for an hour a week. If you come to Sunday school, we're here for 2 hours a week. Alright? You work 40 hours a week. Even if you retire, you do this, you do that, everybody's schedules is busy. Now, I'm going to talk a lot in this series about time. Now, I'm going to say this over and over and over and over again. You're going to get tired of hearing it, but I want you to understand. The number one weapon that Satan uses against you is the clock. In me. We were talking in Sunday school. We asked, you know, we only have the one service on Sunday morning here now. We asked 1 hour, 2 hours to come to Sunday school. Believe me, you miss a blessing if you don't come to Sunday school. I'm going to say that over and over and over again. Because I'm telling you, we have fun. We have fun. You don't even have to talk. You don't even have to be intelligent. Huh? Scott Hayes comes. You know? I mean, mean, because I'm joking, but I mean, really, we're not going to embarrass you. It's a lot of fun. We have a good time. And yeah, we learn. We have a good time. I encourage you. Come, check us out. I mean, no matter what class you go into, Alice is a marvelous teacher. Alice has been teaching for years and years and years. I teach. You can go to either class you want. It doesn't make any difference. Now, Alice has a lot of women, and I have a lot of men, but it doesn't mean that that's the law. If you want to come as a husband and wife and say, be in one of our classes, we don't care. We're not into rules around here. We're into fellowship. That's what it's about. We're not going to exclude you from anything. But let me just encourage you. We got a wonderful children's teacher. You know, Monica's been teaching children since she was a child herself. It was only with, you know, it's just been 10 years ago since he was a child. So, you know, I know I'm on a roll here.
We'll get him back to church.
All right. But we meet to provoke good works. Because as you go out and live your life, we want you to act like a Christian. It's pretty hard to act like a Christian if you're not in God's house. Not forsaking our own assembly. Which means, assembly means, that's what we're doing now. We are assembled together here for an hour. We all come to the same address. We drive here. We get here. We all assemble together for one purpose, and that is to praise the name of Jesus. All right? We come here to fellowship, praise Jesus, listen to the sermon, respond to it, love each other, and then we go about our way to the next Sunday. Okay? So, not forsaking our own assembly together. In other words, don't forsake it. Take it serious. Because church attendance is serious. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But understand, there have been times when you wasn't here. Everybody's got that testimony. There were times when Monica and I, years ago, when we first got married, that we didn't take church that serious until God got a hold of us and put us under a wonderful word called conviction, because we were a Christian. We were both saved. We just had excuses. And then when children come along, then you got more excuses. And I'm going to talk about that too through this series. If they live under your roof. Now, let me just set the parameter for this. And Stephanie will give this testimony. If you're under my roof, my two kids knew, I don't care whether you're 5 or 50. If you're under my roof, if I'm paying for the mortgage, if I'm paying for the rent, if I'm paying for the utilities, if I'm putting food in your mouth, if I'm furnishing you a car, if I'm furnishing you insurance, on Sunday morning, you will go to church with me or you can get out. Now that's how I feel about it. Is that being strong enough, Cameron? I don't know if that deserves a hand of applause or not. I don't know. Now, when they get out on their own, well, of course, they got their own lives. You can't force your children to do anything. You raised them, now they're on their own. You want to encourage them to come, but hey, it's my home. That's what's important to me. And there were times when they got to be teenagers. Oh, my land, they didn't want it. And they were here. Some of y'all remember when they were teenagers. Alice remembers all that. Oh, they had every excuse under the world. Homework. They even had homework in the summertime. Ain't got the right thing to wear. Well, that wasn't Matthew, but I don't feel good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because my kids, you know, they had the TVs, and back then they had VCRs. Y'all remember them? Some of these kids don't know what a VCR is, but, you know, they had VCRs back then, all like that. I didn't care if they stayed up all night. That was their business. They went to school and they went to church. Oh, believe me, they weren't happy. But see, I'm not worried about how happy they are. That's not my job, is to provide happiness. My job is to teach them what's important. Now, when they get out on their own, that's their way, all right? But I guarantee you, as much as this one and her brother didn't want to go, both of them served the Lord, because that was the rule in our home. Now, I mean, I'll get off that boat, but I'm just saying, that's, because see, I was raised by Dale Hodge. You know, I threatened to leave one time. I told Dale this story, and I threatened to leave. Dad packed my clothes. Mom said, don't worry, crying, all that kind of stuff, you know. Dad just packed my clothes and said, here. I said, well, give me the keys to the car. He said, oh, no, no, I own the car. The car's in my name. I paid for the car. Here's your suitcase, and your clothes is in it. Take off. And I did. I got 2 blocks away. And then I got hungry. But I mean, my dad was just that way. He provided me, my parents provided everything for me. I mean, I was spoiled. They don't know about that. But when my dad said something, that was it. I mean, if I, you know, if I threatened him, or if I did anything to him, it made no difference. That was it. He laid down the law. And as I've said many times, from the time I was 16 to about 25, they were some of the dumbest people on the planet. My parents. Then all of a sudden, they become some of the smartest people I ever knew in my life. But you see, you provoke what's important. And what I'm saying to you is that as a parent, grandparent, or whatever, you need to understand this is the only place that your child is really going to be loved unconditionally. When they get out of these schools, they get out in this world, you ain't gonna tell them what they're gonna hear, what they're gonna say, what they're gonna see. But I promise you here, as long as they act like they got some sense, they're gonna be loved and cared for and educated and shown that God loves them. Give the Lord a hand. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. That's a neat word. And so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. And not only are we to provoke each other, but we are to exhort each other, which means to praise each other. Try to find something nice about each other and exhort that. Oh, we can find bad. I mean, we've all been mad. Everybody said something to hurt your feelings. Everybody's done that. I bet I've heard that 1,000 times. About someone hurting somebody's feelings, so I stay away from church the rest of my life. And I told this story last week, so if he's here last week, just overlook it. I ran into a lady that hadn't been here in probably 2 or 3 years. It's been a few months back. Ran into him in the mall. Told him we missed him. Loved to see him in church. And she said, well, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. She said, I got hurt there. Now, usually when someone tells me that, the very first thing that I do is I'm thinking it was me. And I'm the one that does most of the talking around here. I'm the one that represents the church. So usually if someone says they got my feelings, I'll always say, well, was it me? Because I'll be the first to apologize if I did something out of the way. I'm not perfect. Now, if I don't think I said something out of the way, I may not necessarily apologize. But I'll always say, was it me? What did I do? What did I say? And this person said, no, it wasn't you. And she said, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, you know how many churches there are in this country? If you don't ever come back to Cove Baptist Church, that's okay. I mean, I'd love to see you, but there's 1,000 churches just within several city blocks. Are you going anywhere? No, because that's just the way churches are, they hurt you. I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, I hope you listen with this with some grace, because I'm going to say this as nice as I know how to say it. I said, when you face God one day, and he's going to say, how come you haven't been in church? And you say, well, someone hurt my feelings. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I said, there's not a person on this planet that can keep me from this church. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what. There's not a person on this planet that can keep me out of church. And if I can, if I don't want to come here because I don't want to see somebody, then find you another church and get in it.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying to you? Nobody can keep you out of church but you. Period. Are you listening to me, camera? Nobody can keep you out of church but you. If you're an adult. Now, obviously, if you're a child, you can't go if your parents or grandparents don't take you. But if you're an adult, you're the only one that keeps you out of church. God is not going to allow you to blame somebody else to keep you out of church. I believe that. I really do. Not forsaking your own assembly together. Now, just how important, and we're going to talk a lot about this over the next couple of months, how important is it to come to church in the time of history we're in right now? So much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Let me tell you what that day is. That day is the rapture of the church. That can be any day, any moment. Everything in God's word has been fulfilled. It can happen before the service is over with. So if you see that, how much more important is it for you to be in church now than say 100 years ago? Because 100 years ago, the rapture wasn't ready. Now, the rapture is ready. Your family needs to be in church. Your parents need to be in church. Your children need to be in church. Your grandparents need to be in church. Now, I know you can't force them, but every time that they know that this your vehicle is sitting out here in this parking lot, your kids know it. Your parents know it. And the greatest witness that you can be is to have this automobile sitting out here in this parking lot. You understand that? If you don't ever say another word to them, they know that you've set the time to do this. This is important to you. They may not. They may not take it from family. Because believe me, the hardest thing to do is to get your family in church. Other people can get them in church before you can get them in church. But that still doesn't give you the understanding or the excuse to understand when you are here, you're telling your family, your spouse, your children, your parents that this is important to you and this is why you give your time to it. Now there's that word again, time. When you give time to something, it means something to you. When you go to work, you punch that clock. You sign that time sheet. Why do you do that? Why is that important? Because why? You're going to get paid. You're making a living. There's a reason why you do it. The reason why you go there. Well, church on the same level is a lot of that. We don't make you punch a clock. We don't make you sign a time sheet. But God knows when you're in this building. God knows. He don't need a clock to know whether you're here or not. He didn't need a time sheet to know whether you're here or not. Does he? No. He knows when you are here. Because you've given him time. And that's the most precious thing that you've got today. You may say it's your money, but it's not. It's your time. Because we're all on limited time. I don't know how many people, when I was in my 20s, I don't know how many people that were in their 60s said, my lands, time just flies by. I remember when I was this tall. And I'm thinking, here, I'm 24 years old. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these old people? The other day at Doak Stephanie, I said, I've never seen time go by so fast in all my life. And now I'm in my 60s. I don't look at those good. This means, no, you don't look at preacher. Encourage me. You're supposed to encourage me a little bit. All right? Hey, I told my man Jim, I lost another 5 pounds in the last couple weeks. I now went over the 100 mark. Now, I have fussed. I have fought. And I had been in a bad mood for 2 years to do it, but I did it. Because literally, folks, I live to eat. And y'all know that. Y'all remember. I can go back on this camera because Larry keeps it on. I can go back 4 or 5 years ago and watch myself and see what I looked like back then. Holy cow. Because you know, when they sit down and tell you either lose the weight or die, I mean, you have choices in life. Really, you do. Because you had a choice to come here today. You could have stayed home. You could have stayed home. And some people drive a long way to get here. Some people don't feel too good, do you, Chris? Huh? You know, the man's hurting. But he came here today. You know, Calvin was in the hospital last week, but he's here today. I mean, you know, you can use every excuse in the world. And we're going to talk about excuses over this, because I've heard them all. You wait till you hear some of them. Now, I'm not going to tell you who told me. And I'm not going to tell you what Donna told me one time. I'm going to tell you about the rest of them. But in 30-something years, I've heard it all. Okay? And when we get to the excuses, we're going to look at that a little bit. And we're going to see if God's going to honor those excuses down the road. Now, God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God. But he's not a stupid God. I'm going to say that one more time. He's a loving God, a forgiving God. But he's not a stupid God. Okay? He knows our hearts. And folks, let me tell you this. In this Christian life, it's not how you start that is important, it's how you finish. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. George Krebs, who we all love very much, George wasn't in church none most of his whole entire life. But somehow or another, the Lord knew he was going to call him home at some point in time. And George's family found our church. George gave his life to the Lord. Now, I really respect people who've been a Christian for 50, 60, 70 years, that have been in church all their lives. I think that's wonderful. I think that's a blessing. But when we face God one day, it's not going to be whether or not you've been in church 50 years or you died on your deathbed. Because there's a lot of people that were saved just before they died. Now, it may make a difference in rewards in heaven, and I preached on that 10 times. But when it comes to you being in heaven, it's not about if you do it or when you do it. It's just you better do it. Even if it's late in life. You may have a mother that's 70 years old, never been in church. Don't mean she can't be saved. But you have to understand something, folks. Time is running out. This excuse that we use as time is not going to be an excuse much longer. We are on borrowed time. Now, from my perspective as a Christian, I say let the trumpet go. I'm ready. I'm tired of dialysis. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of different stuff. You know, I'm tired of government shutdowns. I'm tired of everything. Let me go home. I'm ready. But if he's not ready for me, I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. The Lord's allowed me to keep standing. So I keep standing and I keep preaching. And no matter whether or not, and I've shared this many times because I've been very much under conviction of this, especially in the last several years, and all of the preacher guys that are still alive with me that we get together with on occasions, I tell them the same thing, because I believe this with all of my heart. I don't care whether I've got, and I just use this number because I use it all the time. I don't care whether I got 300 in front of me or if I got 3 in front of me. You deserve the best I got. And I'm going to preach as hard as I know and preach the truth as much as I know, whether there's 3 people still left at this church or whether we grow it to 300. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Serious, folks. I promise you that. And if I hit you between the nose, it's because I love you, because I'm hitting myself between the nose. I'm just telling you, we cannot keep using the excuses, that the excuses that we're using, because we're running out of them. Folks, believe me, this is the place to be. Now, I'm going to close with this because I want you to understand something as well. I want you to know, if you're sick and you're contagious, I don't need you here. You need to be home. If you're in the hospital, I think that's a pretty good excuse. Everybody deserves a vacation. You go on vacation, we take vacations. I'm tickled for you. I'm glad for you. Go have a good time. But don't take off for a year or two. Nobody gets on 2-year vacation, I know. I mean, am I making a point? Okay? I mean, there are some reasons why sometimes, and we have to work sometimes. Now, I'm going to talk about that, because I had a real major crossroads in my life about working on Sunday, and I'm going to share that with you. It's my own personal road. Don't mean you have to take it, but I'll share that with you here in the future. But understand this one thing. Satan knows what he's doing, and he is smart. I'm going to close here with a video. Now, let me tell you something that's very powerful. Very, very powerful. Because it talks about Satan and how smart he is. Are you ready for it? Larry, I'm ready whenever you are. Thank you.
through it, then they were ever put on the hill.
Is Satan winning?
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's all about time. Time, time. Where you spend your time is where your heart is. Listen to me, camera. 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, out of 168 hours in a week, God just asked me to come and worship. Do we have the time to do that? You have to answer that question. Would you stand?